good to be here. You will take your Bibles and join with me back to the Gospel of John. John chapter 1. Last time I was up here preaching, I had preached from the first three verses of this gospel, and I want to go even further and preach from verse 3 to 5, and I'm just kind of working my way through the Gospel of John, going, learning as I go, and also preaching as I go. I believe it is very good, it is very profitable for men to preach the Word, and even more so to keep us faithful and to keep us consistent, to preach through books, to preach from the Word as the Word is written, and to keep it expository, keep it faithful, to keep it and expound on it as Christ did when He preached along the river and along the lake, and He would preach the Word, He would exposit the Word. And I was thinking about preaching from verse 3 to 5. I think I might cover the chapter 1 just because I don't have much time to preach now. It was a joke. Bad at telling jokes. Supposed to laugh, but all right. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, the Bible begins to read here. Let's read in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him, the Word was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come before Your throne of grace. And Lord, I pray that You would make most of the moment at hand. We know that this is an ordained hour, ordained word for an ordained people. For we know You have all things planned out and control. And Lord, we are here to hear Your word. As we have just read it, I pray that You'd help me be faithful to Your word, that I would not preach my own word or preach my own message, but Lord God, that I would be faithful to Your word, and that through Your word we will see Your glory. That You would reveal Yourself through this passage. Lord God, we love You and we thank You for this opportunity to come and worship You, to sing praises unto You, for You are worthy. And Lord God, we pray that we would exalt You tonight in the preaching of Your word. It is in Christ's name I do pray all these things. Amen. Last time I had preached, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The title of my last message was The Majesty of Christ, for the very sole purpose of the context of the Gospel of John found in chapter 20 and verse 31, which reads, "As these are written so you may know that He is truly the Son of God." Jesus is truly the Christ, that He is truly the Messiah promised to come. But I titled it The Majesty of Christ because ultimately what John is setting up here and what he is starting out with is that this is Jesus. This is His identity. He is deity. He is God. He is worthy. He is one of which is not just, He is not just one with God, but He is God, and He is God. In the beginning was the Word, and He is an eternal God. Also, we understand that He created all things. He is the one who has created you and I, and we'll see that as we go further in our text. But ultimately, the reason of John writing this gospel was that you and I would know who Jesus Christ is, to know that He is truly God. I had I was studying, and there's so much here, and I just kept on reading more and more from different people, trying to see different points of view of this text and trying to figure out what is the text trying to say in its context and trying to weave in and out of all that. And I had to take a step back and realize something. We put a lot of time in studying, and we put a lot of thought and a lot of prayer and a lot of meditation of the Word, and then there's so much here. This gospel here is not just written for scholars. I am no scholar. This gospel is primarily written to the church, or if I would say, to people. To step back and think that when John was writing this gospel, is that when the people first read this gospel, what was their first thoughts? What came to their mind when they read in the beginning was the Word? What came to their minds? What could have they been thinking? There is much here, but if we were to keep it on surface level and to see it for what it truly is, I believe we miss a lot if we try to dive deep without actually knowing the very surface of the text. In the beginning was the Word. This God, this deity, this Word, He was in the beginning and He was one with God and He was God and the same was in the beginning with God. And this Word was Christ. In verse 3, as we get into our text here this evening, I think the very preface of this text is found in verse 5 where it says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." I titled the message this evening, just to throw it out there, "The Word Overcame." The Word overcame. Three things we see in this passage, these three verses. We see, first of all, in verse 3, we see that the Word is the sole agent of creation. He is the instrument. He is the channel which God the Father creates all the universe, all the cosmos. Secondly, we see in verse 4, we see that Christ is the life and the light. And what does that mean? What is it that we can get from that? And what does it mean that He is the life? And how does that relate to light? And then we see in verse 5, and this is very clear, that there is a battle between light and darkness. And He is just opening that up as we read in the Gospel of John to realize that there is a constant battle, a battle that is continuing on. It is between darkness and light. And to know that the darkness comprehended it not, it did not understand it, but it also did not overcome it because the light overcame the darkness. I throw that out there. Just to give an introduction, there's much here. Pray for me. And may we see the glory of God's Word. First of all, we come to verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. First of all, He begins by saying all things, everything, were made. The idea there, were made, is to be, was created, to be brought into existence. And we go back, as we did last time, to the Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He creates the heaven and the earth, and all things came to be. But were made by Him. The word "by" has the idea of through, or the channel of which everything was made. He is the agent. He is the instrument of which God created the universe. It is by the work of God through the Word that you and I here today exist. But first of all, we see that all things were made by Him. So before everything was, before there was matter, before the world, before the universe, before everything, God was. And that brings it back to verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. So this is just proof and evidence, and this is just fact that the Word was before the beginning. But He is not just was before the beginning, but He is the cause of the beginning. Before creation was, the Word was. Also, we see not just that when we come to this passage that he was before the beginning, but then we come to verse 3, and we do not need to, as we looked at last time, that we spoke of the Trinity and how the Trinity is very essential to our Christian faith. As we go, it might not seem practical, but very essential. It is the foundation of our Christianity today, of the church. The Trinity is very important. And then we come to verse 3, and we better not leave out the Trinity. Now, the Trinity, as it was said before, is summed up in four sentences. Number one, God is one. Sentence two, the Father is God. Sentence three, the Son is God. And sentence four, the Spirit is God. That is how the church has correlated and understood who is God. And he's summed up in the Trinity. But here he is. We see the mystery of the Trinity in creation. And as I said, all things were made, were created, were brought into existence by or through him, the Word. It is the Word which you and I are brought together. He was the instrument, the agent. He was the cause of everything existence on the behalf, and we see this, of someone else. Both the Father and the Sons were actively playing a part in creation. That is evident here because by him, through him. How so? It was by the will of the Father. The Word was the instrument of which God the Father created the will at his own will. Of the world at his own will, you see. And so we see the very point of the Trinity in this, and both roles as the Father and the Son are creating everything. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. We see, second of all things were made by him. All things. What does all mean? All means all that it means. It is everything, the whole thing. But what does that go into, and how can we look at that? We might think, well, God created the earth, he created you and me. We look at one another, hey, God made you, God made me, and we look at the building, we look at the trees outside, we look outside, and there's stars, there's snow. We think God made all that, but God made all things. It goes even further than that. He doesn't just make the macrocosm, he makes the micro things as well. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, just go over there real quickly with me to give evidence to the fact that Christ has made all things. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. He says here, for by him were all things created, that all are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And in verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So even the large things that we see as we walk outside, the trees, the mountains, the hills, the sky, they all declare the glory of God. But then he says that he speaks of something that the world is consisted of in verse 17. What are we made of? We are made up of matter. What is matter made up of? The matter is made up of atoms. Atoms, the very little things that make you and I up, God made them as well. But even in that passage, notice he didn't just make the big things and the small things, but he made the visible and the invisible. Well, visible, well, guess what? We were thinking that. I didn't think about the invisible things. What are the invisible things? Intellect, knowledge, truth, life, those things that are invisible, that we cannot see with our eyes, but is there. Plays a part in our lives, in our very existence, as much as the visible things do. God made them as well, the visible and invisible. But also in the very passage, he has made even politics. He says, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things, even those things, even the things, the establishment of our government, everything, God even made them as well. God made all things, everything, the whole thing. There is nothing that God did not make. Well, think about, what about this building? Did God just say, let there be a church building right there on Huntertown Road? No, but he gave men the mind, the intellect, and the knowledge to build it up. God made everything. With that being said, I think of the conclusion of that matter of the Word being the sole agent of creation, and that how both the Father and the Son play an active role in creating everything. But we notice there is a very important thing here. The Word has a very close relationship to His creation. He created all things. And then we read in verse 14 that He was made flesh and dwelt among us. What a great love that our Creator, first of all, I want to make this point, that the God who placed every star in the universe, in the cosmos, in the sky, and took the very, he cared so much that he placed them there. When he holds everything together with the atoms that create up matter and you and I, the one that keeps everything together, wouldn't it be logical that we trust in Him? Would it not be logical that this God, this Creator, this Word, this Christ, we place all our faith and trust in Him? Not just that, but then even to go further, that this is the very one, this Creator is the very one, in verse 14, who was made flesh. He came to live among us, to walk with us, to talk with us, to have a relationship with us, to bear our burdens, to care for those that are poor and needy, to teach and to walk and talk. He had a relationship with you and I, and this is our Creator. We can trust in Him. Second of all, we see not just that He is the sole agent of creation and that He has a very personal relationship with you and I, but we see also in verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Second of all, Christ, the life and the light. The word here, word, is logos, speaking of divine reasoning, knowledge, of a divine mind. But here in verse 4, we see something very more interesting, more clear, that this word is not just of a divine mind. But we see that this word, logos, Christ, is of divine person. And in this divine person here, in Him was life. He was living. He was thinking. He was feeling. He was divine. And not even to bring that into play, He was always thinking, feeling. He was always a divine person, which is living. Essentially, in the Word, there is life. And we'll come to see that this life is eternal, but and also spiritual life. This is a life that is completely, I would say, the very foundation of who you and I are. Came from this life. Because eternal divine life, we see, produces life. He created you and I. God spoke, and it came to be. God gave you and I life. He spoke, and there it was. We had life. But not just this physical life that we have today, but also we think of spiritual life. This is very elementary, but I'm just bringing this out as I go. Spiritual life. We were dead in our sins. And we'll bring this out when we look at life correlating with light and darkness and being blinded and we walking as individual, even though we're physically alive, we're dead in our sins. But we are, because of Him, we have life. But this life goes into a spiritual sense because we had sinned, but to those who believe and put their faith in Christ, in the Word, they have spiritual life. An eternal life, because He is the not just essentially life, but He is the source of life. He is the wellspring of life. You're looking for life? Go to Him. But notice what He says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made, because in Him was life. He in Him was life. In the Word was life, and the life was light of men. This light is a light of a new life. Bringing into play of you and I today, whether you go out to the mall, to the park, maybe friends and family, maybe work, and you look all around you, there is billions of people walking and talking, thinking and feeling. And you look at them and you just step back and you just contemplate and just say, they're alive. But they're dead as well. They are dead in a very spiritual sense, because we will see here, in life was light, in Him was life, and the life was a light of men. And then verse 5, and light shineth in darkness. And what is that darkness? Is constantly is being is completely compared to wickedness or sin or rebellion. And so this life here, and was Him, the life was the light of men. So this life was of a new life. So for us to have light, for this light to be radiant or shining in us, there must be a new life. Because in Christ, in the Word, we are made alive and we walk in light. What comes first? Do we see the light? Or are we made alive? We sing the song that is often, sometimes, I saw the light. I'm not going to sing it. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more strife. I saw the light. But what came first, life or light? Did they come sequentially or simultaneously? They came simultaneously, because think about this. If you were to close your eyes for this very moment and you were closed and all of a sudden you open your eyes, light breaks forth in. Your eyes are closed, there's darkness, and here this is where most people are in their depravity. They're walking, they're wandering around, just living day by day, just in darkness, blinded. They're dead. And then in the Word, He gives them life, and at the same time He gives them life, there's light. Light that just radiates, that breaks forth, that just completely jumps in and completely bombards the darkness. And so I would even make this point in conclusion of Christ, the life and the light. I would say in conclusion that I have life and light in Christ. Because as I said, in the Word, in Him was life. He is essentially life. Because of Him, in Him, there is life. And for us to believe, put our faith in Christ, we can walk, seeing, walk and in a sense of revelation and manifestation, because that is what light essentially means by definition. Though the darkness of my heart, that is something else I have come to consider and even bring out. Why is it that as Christians, as those who know Christ as their Savior, why is it that we are completely convicted of sin? Because the light has overtaken, and we'll see this, every darkness in our hearts. Our hearts were dark and blinded, but we see the light. We have life, and we see the light and the truth and knowledge of the Word, and it convicts us. Thirdly, we'll see in verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There's a battle between light and darkness. And he says, first of all, the light shineth in darkness. Now, Christ, in verse 14, we'll see, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This light that shineth in the darkness is the He is the Word. He is the Christ who is the light come into the world. That little child, that son that was born in a manger that we oftentimes think about during Christmas time, that individual, that person was God. And He was that light that was been promised to come before the foundation of the world and has been prophesied, and He has come to perform. He has become, He was made into flesh and He dwelt among us. He is the light come into the world. He is that light that shines in darkness. He is that light that came to you and I. He came down into this dark and chaotic world and He shines forth. But notice what it says secondly. And the darkness comprehended it not. There's a twist here, because this is something that I was trying to figure out as I was looking into definitions of word, and the darkness comprehended it not. What does this word comprehend mean? Well, first of all, we don't understand by English vocabulary, primarily comprehend means understanding, to know. And so here it says, the darkness comprehended it not. So, in other words, as one preacher, a former pastor I knew, Mike Comstock, used to say, the dark stayed dark. We see that in verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And in verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The darkness, the people who are blind, they knew him not. Yet though he was the light come into the world, he is the light that came and dwelt and was made in flesh and dwelt among us. Though he was the light that shines in the darkness, they knew him not. The dark stayed dark. But there's another definition of this very word, and that is the word overcame. And the darkness overcame it not. It was not overcome by it. We think of the very thought here in verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them and believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So where this light came, those who were in dark stayed dark. But where this light had broke forth and bombarded, they seen the light, there was new life, and now they are light. That is the point here. He is saying that light triumphs over darkness. I'm going to go back a little bit here. We know children. They hear the gospel often. Teenagers who hear the gospel often. But why is it that they do not respond to the gospel? Why is it that they do not hear? Why do they not understand? Because they are in the dark. It is dim. They are blinded. They are dead in their sins. Until God gives them life, they will not see. But where God does give life or give light, there is life. And when He gives life, He gives light. And they will see the wonders of the gospel. And ultimately, what is that wonder of the gospel that we see? That word, the Logos, the Christ, what is the wonder of it all, and that this word that has come in verse 14 is the word that has been promised, the long hoped for one, the Messiah that these people were looking for, and He has come, He has died on the cross and had bore our sins,
And now sitting at the right seat of the Father, this Jesus that was born of a manger, He is truly the Son of God. He is truly God. He is truly deity. This is brought to the point that this light, this life that we as Christians have in our life, we are blessed. Because that light, and the things of which we see, is that we see the Word to be wonderful, glorious, amazing, awesome. We see Him as valuable and treasured. He is joyful. He is our joy. But unless God gives us life and light, we will not see. But how is it that we will see? How can we receive this life? We must go to Him. We must go before Him and confess our sins, repent, and believe. And when we believe, life and light breaks forth. The Word overcame the darkness. It triumphs. It has victory. And today, I want to say, Christian, that we have this light. We've seen this light. But not even that, but we are that light. We are that light that shines in this dark place because we have a union with Christ. We are in Christ. And so when we go out to our workplace, when we go out in our community, when we go to the store, what are people seeing? What do they see and what do they know? Pastor said it this morning, if you have to prove to them you are a Christian, there's a problem. How hard is it to prove you're a light? You walk in a dark room, it's no longer dark. Well, friend, we are light. And we have a part in this gospel. The Word overcame. This is our wonderful gospel. Let us pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for your blessings. Lord God, I pray that I was faithful to your Word. Pray that it was understandable. And Lord, very concise. But I pray that you take your Word. I pray that you'd convict our hearts, that we'd live in the light. And Lord God, that we would live by your Word. And that we would take this gospel and cherish it, but not just take this gospel and cherish it, but that we would also preach it. Lord God, we love you and we thank you and we praise you for all things. In Christ's name I ask, amen.